Hibbard comes home. The pitch swung on and missed. The throw to second is in time. It's a strike him out, throw him out.
Kick it out left corner. DeAndre wide open for three. He hit it again.
Raider going deep over the middle. Caught. Rucker across midfield, and he's going to take it all the way to the house. 79 yards.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast, the A-State podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, the first game of the A-State athletic season is later this week. So, getting the 2025-26 athletic calendar going. But we're going to spend most of our time talking football today. The season is officially here. Sunbelt Media Days were last week. We'll talk about that. Preseason polls and preseason all-conference teams are also out. Meanwhile, preseason practice starts this week. That's coming up on Thursday. And the A-State football kickoff party is this weekend, coming up on Saturday. We'll talk about that as well. So, bottom line is there's a lot going on. There's a lot to keep up with, and there's nobody better to talk to about all the stuff that's going
on. Keeping up with it.
than the person we have in studio today. It's the new chief of staff for A-State football, Rachel Phillips. Hi, Rachel.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, great, and I'm really interested to just hear everything that you're doing because I know it's a lot. But I remember soon after you were hired, Butch Jones told me about you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, man, she's good. She's really good. You just provided immediate help in a role that we really didn't have before. So,
well, I'll tell you, before we even get into it, because I haven't even told you this, when he knew you were coming, but before you started, like, he randomly texted me one day, like, your bio from website to previous stop, and just like, and then text, you know, game changer.
I love it. That was sweet. That was sweet. I tell people I pay a lot of money to him to have him say those nice things, so I appreciate it.
Well, he says it for a reason, and he certainly doesn't just throw stuff like that around as far as compliments. So we're interested in just what you're doing. So we say you're chief of staff. What are you doing on a daily basis in that role?
Right. Absolutely. I like to look at it as just a problem solver. You know, chief of staff is a fancy title. I've got a phenomenal group that works for Coach Jones surrounding me. So I'm really appreciative of that. But really, it's just kind of solving people's problems. I say I'd love to have like a revolving door for my office because I think it'd help with the traffic. But it's anything from helping the student athletes out, making sure that operation wise, everything is good, that coach is set, needing what he needs. Making sure that, you know, planning for all of the season, we do all of the fall camp planning from the meals to the travel to making sure for season we have our hotels and our buses, our planes, making sure everything goes on time. You know, I think that's one of the biggest things is people just don't realize when you bring 125 kids to campus and mom and dad are at home, who do they look to? You know, and we're fortunate to have a tremendous staff, like I said, with a lot of great position coaches and a lot of support staff. But a lot of times they just need an answer. So love to be that support for them. Love to be that person that they can come to. And like I said, really just solving problems on a daily basis.
And I can answer that from being, let's say, in the department, but outside of the operations center, you know, being in the opposite end zone for us, like Rachel is. She's the go-to for pretty much everything because, like, right, you already know, like, those head coaches, there's so many demands on their time. And now that's even jumped up times however many because of just with the portal and ref share and NIL and the fact that there is no recruiting off season. So, like, you really want to really, really be really important or something that just there's no getting around. You need to deal directly with the coach. Or outside of that, I mean, Rachel's is – the contact for everything else. And so it's been good for us to have that person to go to and meet with on a regular basis to just know we're helping get stuff handled that not everything has got to, you know, cross Coach Jones's desk in real time.
Let's talk about your story. And I do want to get in later on to just more of the things that are happening around A-State football. But I want to know how you got into all this. And I want to hear about your family, too, because we were talking off the air before we started recording about just how passionate your family is, and I guess your dad in particular, about athletics. And your dad went to the same school I did. He went to North Texas. So you went to a lot of North Texas games growing up, so much so that you missed your prom. Is that right?
I did, yeah. So, I mean, really, that's probably where the love of football started. When I was 8 years old, my sister and I, she's, you know, a few years older than me, my dad just needed to get us out of the house, give my mom a break. Both my parents were Dallas police officers for 33 and 34 years. Wow. So they were working all the time. And so on Saturdays when he was off, he would take us up to the North Texas games, and we'd go up there. We'd eat at Whataburger. He would take us. We got our little pom-poms. We're dancing, you know, when we were 8 years old. We loved it. Just kind of seeing some of the greats there at Fouts Field. And it was a wonderful time. And so for 10 years, it just kind of became the tradition. You know, we would go to the North Texas game. We knew if it was a home game, we were going. So just kind of fell in love with it. And my dad played football back in high school and just always loved the game and take us up there. So that was kind of the start for the love of football. And then really when I went to college at TCU, I went to Texas Christian University. You know, at that point, I needed a job when I got there. Obviously a great university, but a little expensive, again, with police officers as parents. So just needed a job. And they had an ad out there to be an equipment manager to, you know, do the dirty laundry. And I said, sign me up. And it's a wild story. I put on the nicest outfit I had and walked in. At the time, they were redoing the facility. So it was a trailer with flies and everything. I walk in with a skirt and heels and everything. And the equipment manager looked at me and said, are you sure you're in the right place? I said, yes, sir, I think so. I'm ready to do some laundry. And he's like, okay. And, you know, long story short, you know, it's, again, not always what you know, but who you know. He ended up being the director of football operations. I was a student there, but eventually he gave me my first time role at TCU as the director of recruiting operations a few years down the line. But blessed as a student to be able to go through, I did equipment. A coach came down. I was passing out track bags one day, and Coach Looper, who's, you know, now at Mizzou, and he said, hey, you want to give recruiting presentations? I'm like, sure. So I started showing up on Saturdays, and I had folks calling my phone, so it would say the NFL, and I'd say the NFL is calling you, and giving these, you know, grand presentations to recruits. I did that, kind of stayed in the recruiting realm, and then I went on to work in compliance a little bit. My first role was full-time up at Oklahoma State in compliance, which I now say is one of the best things I ever did, because it gives me such a great understanding of all the rules and kind of those gray areas as well, but, you know, being able to work with the different units, you know, what we would say across the way. So went into that. Like I said, Matt Lewis was able to offer me my first-time role back under Gary Patterson, which, again, I've just been really lucky to work for some phenomenal coaches. And really, I think that's what prepared me to work for Coach Jones. I mean, they're very similar in personality, which I love, very intense, which I love. Kind of say I thrive in chaos. So it was a great role there. Went out to New Mexico State after TCU, working under Jerry Kill. We had two phenomenal years out there. Really taught me a work ethic when we were out there, because we really had nothing. They had won two games the season before. We turned it to 6 in a bowl game. The next year, 10. That staff went out to Vanderbilt, and I headed off to the Tennessee Titans. At that point, I was out there, thought I wanted to try the NFL, got hired by an awesome guy, Josh Corey, out there, who had played at Florida, so he understood the college world. I'm out there for about a month, and they had a coaching change up at Utah State, and Nate Dreiling at the time was named the coach. He gave me a call and said, do you want to come? And I said, no, I'm in the NFL, and I thought that's what my dream was, but... And I've said this to the Titans folks, so I can say it, but it was a little boring. We didn't have as much chaos. And Nate called me back again, and he said, I got to get you here. So went out there, was out there last season, and then obviously came out in January and been here since. So it's been an amazing path.
I want to go back, way back to the beginning of that, to your parents. Because I never even heard the part that they were both police officers. So I'm assuming, is that how they met, or is it the world's greatest coincidence?
It is. Nope, it's how they met. And I think that's probably where I get a lot of my personality from. People say, oh, you know, is it hard being a female working in a male business? And I'm like, well, my mom was on the fugitive unit, which was a specialized unit of the SWAT team. So she worked with all males going out and doing a lot more crazy things than I do. But I think that's probably where I get a lot of my personality from. And yeah, they met on the job. And like I said, they were with Dallas for 33 and 34 years.
Could you and your sister get away with anything?
Gosh, no. I feel like I was a pretty decent child, but I did enough stuff to understand what our guys are doing right now, so I can kind of see it before they complete whatever they're doing on the weekends. But it was pretty good.
Did you realize that early on? I mean, just being a student at TCU, I mean, equipment recruiting, compliance, you got to be thinking, man, I'm seeing this thing from all sides, which is what you have to do in your role now.
Absolutely. I don't think I realized the value at that time. I just had a lot of things that interested me. And, you know, I just kept asking the question, can I help? Can I be around? Can I do anything to just kind of immerse myself in athletics? I think at that point I knew I wanted to stay in athletics. It was something that I was passionate about. But now looking back, I'm like, wow, that was so incredibly helpful, because I think I have a better understanding working with the different groups. You know, when equipment has something, I remember the late nights and staying after practice and doing the laundry. And I just think I have a different, you know, appreciation for those folks.
Yeah, Brad and I, anytime we've talked with students, I know he says something very similar in that you just try to get as much experience in as many different areas as you can. And that's what you were able to do as a student. And I think that's the best piece of advice you could give. If you want to get in the business, you want to be that Swiss Army knife and be able to help in as many ways as possible. So you're doing all this as a student. When did you realize, hey, not only am I enjoying it now, this is something I want to continue to be involved in. I want to be in the football world.
Right. I think it was about my junior year. We had a woman come into the director of recruiting role, which obviously I eventually held, but her name was Dominique Green. And I don't know if you ever saw the show Scandal, but Olivia Pope basically was the president's right-hand lady and just solved problems. And that's who she was to me. And I think since then, I kind of fell in love with it. My degree is actually in film. So I have a film, television, digital media degree. Because when I started, I thought I wanted to go into something like sports broadcasting. But obviously, when you're working the games, you can't be filming the games. So it just kind of evolved and I took the degree and appreciative of it. But I think it really was working, you know, with her, getting to see the recruiting side, getting to work with the student athletes. I've always been passionate about that. And I think that's what kind of set it off there, was just seeing someone that she was on the Auburn National Championship team. She worked with them, and just being able to work under her really kind of sparked the interest.
You mentioned Coach Patterson at TCU and the similarities with he and Coach Jones, and I would have asked that if you didn't mention it. But I want to ask about Jerry Kill, who you're with in New Mexico State, because this is a guy that really interesting from the outside looking in. And you know, like, he's dealt with health stuff along the way. He's not probably regarded as the most glamorous guy out there, but all that dude does is win. What's the secret sauce there?
1,000% belief. I'll tell you, I mean, when we walked into New Mexico State, when I say it was, you know, two of the best years, we were mowing the lawn. We were out there serving food out of pans every day. I mean, we did not have a lot of resources, but what those kids did have was belief. And you still see it. I mean, now Diego, who we have a rule after him, you know, people will be like, oh, the Diego Pavia rule, which is hysterical, because that kid was a handful, and I can say that openly because I've told Diego that. But just having those kids believe and come together on a team that had won two games the year prior, Kill comes in there, there's no resources, there's no glamour to it, and to be able to turn that program around, they believed in him. And you're right, he had a lot of health challenges, and I think there's a lot of stories that will always go untold, but if people understood what that man went through on a weekly basis, specifically with his health, I don't think anyone would question him for a second. He's an unbelievable person, unbelievable human. I still talk to him at least once a week to check in. They're doing a fantastic job up at Vandy right now. I'm so proud of that staff. We have so many staff members from that New Mexico State group that are out there, and just so proud of him, proud of those kids. And I just think those 2 years will always be something I remember. And again, it's because of the belief. And I think that's something too with Coach Jones. You know, he's asked a couple times, like, but how did New Mexico State do it? Because again, it's just those resources weren't there. And again, it's just that belief, and it's getting the kids to believe, and it's having a head coach that is so passionate and wants to win themselves, that they want it so much for the kids. And that's what Coach Jones has too. And that's why, you know, I've just been so fortunate to, in my mind, work for like three pretty legendary coaches, and to get to work for Coach Jones, it's the same thing. He just has that passion. And I don't think, again, from the outside, anyone truly understands how much he wants to see those kids succeed.
We've been out to New Mexico State. And
yes, we have.
They were in the league there for a few years, got back in the league for a few years. To win 10 games there, I mean, there were a lot of people extremely impressed.
Yeah,
especially those people
Auburn.
That had been there before.
Yeah, yeah, everybody's been there.
Yeah.
All right, so you mentioned Nate Dreiling. Yep. You worked for him last year at Utah State, and then he came here and was here for a short stint at Arkansas State before Oklahoma came calling for him.
Yes.
So I'm guessing that was the connection. Is that how you landed here in Jonesboro?
It was. I was actually going to stay in Logan when that staff kind of parted ways and stay as an administrator there under the AD, who's now, you know, taken another position, but Diana Sabo, who's another phenomenal individual, was going to stay and work as an administrator for her. And Nate calls me on a Monday, same thing, calls me on a Monday and said, do you want to come to Arkansas State? And again, I'm like, Nate, I just got this administrative position. I think, you know, I want to be an AD one day. This may be the right path. And he's like, I'm telling you, I think you'd like Butch Jones. And I said, I don't know. And he said, okay. And coach doesn't even know the story. He said, I'm going to call you and act like this is the first time I'm calling you. I just need you to say everything you did at Utah State. Okay. So I'm like, okay. So I hang up. I'm like out in my car. Like, is this happening? I'm out in my car and he said, hey, Rage, how's it going? Good, Nate. You know, he said, hey, can you just remind me? Like, I know you did everything for me, but like, what did you do? So I start running through it, obviously on speaker, obviously Butch Jones standing there. So I'm going through my P's and Q's as fast as I can. At some point I can tell, which now I can just see it. Coach just kind of waves. I'm like, good. And he said, yep, I'll give you a call back. Get a call from Butch Jones that morning. And he said, I want you on my staff. I want you out here. I said, Coach, can I think about it? That's probably at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. By 6 o'clock that night, I had called Butch Jones, and I said, I'm coming. And I made the decision. I felt passionate about it. I wanted to get, as much as I do want to be an AD one day, I wanted to be in football. I think supporting the kids is just, you know, something unique. And by that Wednesday, I packed up my Jeep and everything I had that I could fit in a Jeep, and I started what should have been about a 24-hour drive turned into 36 with the weather. It's like the one time we've had a snowstorm here. So it literally snowed all the way through, but packed up my Jeep and drove out here and was here by Friday and started work, and I don't think I've stopped since. No.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea. Customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same. You first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Continuing to visit with Rachel Phillips here on the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Rachel, you're part of what seems to be a really good staff right now. I really like Jeff Eberhardt, and he does a fantastic job as the special assistant to Coach Jones. And there's a lot of girl power around the football building these days, and I think that's a good thing. And you've got somebody in Kaylin Whitaker that's been brought in. She's the new director of football operations. Now, I know in the past you've been a chief of staff and done that role of football ops, so how much does that help, having somebody like that around?
1,000%. She is the steal of the century, and I'm so glad no one really knew. So she was still a student at Texas. She had not even finished her senior year. And when that role opened up, I was lucky to have some contacts at Texas, and they said, you've got to get this girl hired, because as soon as she gets a diploma in her hand, she's going to be scooped up. So I called her and was just really lucky that, you know, she believed in Coach Jones and believed in me enough to come out here. She's been phenomenal. She's great. She's, you know, fit into our program right like a glove. We're just fortunate to have a great staff, like you said, with Jeff, who's just an unbelievable resource and knows Coach and knows what we're doing with that. But yeah, I think the female power to me is important too, especially being a female in the operations world. We were fortunate, like at New Mexico State, we had the most females on a Division I staff. And so here now having Kaylin with us, you know, having Isabella, who just joined us as our director of recruiting operations, I think it's important to help females grow in the field. And I think they start to see the value. I'd like to think Coach Jones is seeing the value of having all the females around. You know, we certainly give a different perspective, a different energy, and I think it's important to have in the football world.
I do want to kind of go more into working with Coach Jones. What is it? And you've already bragged about him, but just from your perspective, what makes him stand out and what makes him so good at what he does?
Absolutely. It's details. He sees everything. to a level that I want to pride myself to see things at. He's been in this business so long, he's worked at such a high level that no job is too small for him to see and want to make better. As Bobo knows over here, he loves marketing. He's a very visual guy. He wants everything that the fans experience to be top notch. He wants everything that our student athletes go through to be top notch. He wants to be top notch in every single way he can. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of football coaches that love ball, but don't really care about everything else. And that is what makes Coach Jones so unique, is that he cares about everything in the program, from what the kids are eating. One point he's like, that was, you know, kind of old people food right there. Like, we got to get that fixed. I said, yes, sir. Too many mashed potatoes on the line. But he cares, and he does. And it's just to make the team better. It's to make the program better. He wants to make sure that Arkansas State is top notch in everything we do, no matter what the resources are. And yeah, he's just been phenomenal to work for. And I think that, again, his passion that he has for making everything so good makes everyone that works for him better. And that's the thing he always says, is you can't always listen to how it's presented. You have to listen to the message. And I know that in the last 6-7 months that I've been here, I've grown so much as an operations person or as a chief of staff. And so I'm just grateful for the opportunity to learn from him, because you're going to learn in all aspects.
By the end of this week, where people are listening to this, we'll say the season starts this month. So you've come in and it's been all the off-season stuff and getting the foundation laid. So for you and Kaylin, stuff like, how's that change, or what's it going to look like when now all of a sudden there are games?
Absolutely. Inside. It's my favorite time of year, because ball coaches go back to being ball coaches. Although I love all their input out of season, it is great because it's my favorite time of year. You've got a set schedule. You know what's going on. For Kaylin and I, we'll be just continuously working on our daily operations, making sure that for home games that we're set and ready, working with the marketing team, making sure the team is ready. Our home hotel over at the embassy is set and ready. I'm just making sure for the next games way ahead that we're, you know, preparing for that, from the flights to the buses to the hotels to the cars, you know, making sure we're set. And you just kind of get into a routine, making sure that the kids feel comfortable. I tell our ops crew every day, we just had a meeting before I came over here, I said, our job is to be invisible. Everything should run so smoothly that you don't see us, you don't know where we are, and it just runs. So if we can do that during season, we'll be in a really good place. And again, to support Coach and the other coaches and our position coaches, whoever it is, we just want to make sure that operationally wise, the only thing they have to do is go and coach ball and win some games. That's our goal.
And I know we talked about, by the end of the week, we'll say there are games this month, but the kickoff event is actually this week, this weekend, Saturday night.
It is.
So there's still, I guess, a little times people are listening to this to get in on that if they want to.
Absolutely. And we'd love to have everyone out. Again, I've been telling everyone, this is our biggest fundraising event of the year. There's so much in the media right now about revenue sharing and what that looks like. And we are so lucky as a university to have like Dr. Shields at the helm, because he has been tremendous in helping us with that. But truly, it really does come down to our donors and our fans and the fundraising portion of it, as well as a kickoff event. Get to meet the guys, get to come out and see the coaches, and really get to see them on a personal level. So yeah, on, you know, Saturday, August 2nd, if you are interested in coming out, please check it out. Go on our Twitter. The link is right there. And we just want to make sure that everyone knows they're invited to come out and to, you know, support the team. But really, it's a celebration for everyone to get some funds into the program and make sure that that product you see on the field is for the kids. And that's what everything goes to, the kids. And it's to make sure that their lives are great and they feel comfortable and go out, like I said, win some games.
Yeah, we've done kickoff events over the years, and the way it's evolved now, that move to the embassy last year was absolutely huge. It was one of the most fun events that we've been a part of in a long, long time. And I think it's a good setup that's now in place over at the embassy. So, yeah, again, events start at 4 o'clock coming up on Saturday. Got silent auction, shopping, live music, the X's and O's reception. They're going to have that. Then we'll get the program started at 6:45. There's going to be a live auction as part of that. But really looking forward to getting up there with Coach Jones, having a lot of fun on Saturday. I do want to know, and look, you talked about some of the things that you admire about Coach Jones, and I kind of agree with so much of that, just how detail-based he is. I love the fact that he's a note-taker, and he's always writing stuff down, and I think that's a big key to his success. But give us something maybe that you saw when you came in that you were able to maybe change a little bit to help things flow a little bit easier.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that has been my goal since coming in is to try to actually take some of that stuff off of his plate. Like I said, coach is involved at such a high level because he cares. And I think that's been one of my goals, is to slowly, you know, move some things off his plate, take care of some things. So I think that's, like I said, everything we do is to try to make sure that he can go and coach football. So from the jump, just trying to handle marketing and to handle academics and to handle compliance and make sure that things are set up and ready for him so that he can just come in and focus. So it's really been the goal. I think we've put a lot of new policies and procedures in place. I think our operational staff is top notch right now, from recruiting to operations. They all know their role. They know what they're doing. They're fantastic individuals with great backgrounds. We've pretty much flipped our whole, you know, off-field staff in that capacity. And it's just getting people that love the program and want to be, you know, at A State. And I think that's been the goal. And I think we're really close to getting there.
What are we missing here? Anything else that we need to know about what's going on with football right now?
No, absolutely. I think it's just everything, you know, make sure if you can get out to the games, if there's anything we can do to help support, you know, our building is open. I want to make sure that people know if they want to come over, they want to see something. You know, a lot of our fraternities and sororities are reaching out. We want to be part of your events. If there's events in the community that you would love to see our guys out at, anything we can do, if I can find a way, we're going to do it. So just want to make sure that, you know, the community knows that, and we are so appreciative. But if you have a business, if you have something out there and we can help support, please feel free to reach out to me. All my information's on the website, and we want to do anything we can to come support you as well.
Well, Rachel, it's awesome to have you here. Glad you're in Jonesboro. Really, really glad you're at Arkansas State. And let's go have a great football season.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
And we welcome you back to the Second to None podcast, presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Continue to talk football here. Sunbelt Media Days were last week in New Orleans. Always fun to go down and visit with the head coaches and a lot of the student athletes from around the league.
Yep.
We had our coverage on the Ticket for 4 hours each day. We did 4 hours with the Western Division teams on Tuesday, and then 4 hours with the Eastern Division teams on Wednesday. A lot of fun interviews. And I do want to mention our guys did a great, great job on Tuesday. Jalen Rayner and Brandon Barnes represented the Red Wolves really well. The preseason poll also came out, which means absolutely nothing anymore. But the Red Wolves are picked third in the Western Division behind Cajuns and Texas State. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, you saw, I mean, the Big 12 completely did away with their poll after what happened last year. Arizona State was picked 16 out of 16, and then they went and won the league. And the league, and I think for good reason, thought that preseason ranking may have hurt them when it came to college football playoff rankings.
It does. It does. And like it will, like the AP is going to, they'll keep doing it. Like, right, there'll be a preseason poll. And it's almost like in some cases for teams like that, or even the group of five teams, it puts a ceiling on you, almost where they start you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good. And I get that by and large are just something to talk about. But really, the AP especially, doing a preseason poll, to me is just nuts, because it matters. Like I said, it still carries weight, and so it either starts people out way ahead of where they deserve to be, and thus they don't fall as far as they should if they don't match up to that, or, like I said, it puts glass ceilings in place in some cases, probably like Arizona State. So these preseason polls, even the coaches voting on it, you're just drawing stuff out of a hat, basically. Because you're having a hard enough time making sure you got the feel of your roster.
Yeah.
Much less knowing what everybody else has got going on.
And forget about how different the teams are from last season. So many of these teams are different than what they even had in the spring.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, preseason all-conference selections also came out with the preseason polls. I do agree with this.
Yes,
Clune
I do
Van
too.
Andel, our fantastic place kicker, was named first team all conference and the special teams preseason player of the year. I never knew that was a thing, and I don't know if it was before this season, having a special teams preseason player of the year, but
yeah.
I don't see any reason if you're going to have an offensive and defensive, why you can't have a special teams.
All right. I mean, over the years, especially with Coach Jones and the emphasis he placed on it, he's not shown how special teams win you games.
Many, many times.
There absolutely should be a special teams. There's a special teams player of the week and special teams player of the year in the postseason, so why wouldn't there be in the preseason?
Corey Rucker, no surprise. All-time leader in receiving yards at A-State as a preseason first-team all-conference selection. Brian Whitehead, really excited to see what he does in year two with the program. Preseason first-team all-conference at defensive end. And how about Jaquez Cross? He was named preseason all-conference in three different categories. First-team all-purpose, second-team running back, and second-team return specialist. Should be a big year for Jaquez.
Obviously, there are guys we have that are going to be on the postseason all-conference team that aren't here on this preseason one. There's no doubt about that. And the other guy I hope that is reading this list the most is Jalen Rayner.
Yes, I hope he uses that as fuel. And the best example of how to do that is when Omar Bayless was not named preseason all-conference. You remember he put out a tweet just acknowledging that he was not named preseason all-conference. He ends up winning Sun Belt Conference Player of the Year, which is all that matters, postseason recognition. I do want to mention, A-State Soccer is beginning the 2025 season. Coming up this weekend, there'll be the first game of the athletic calendar at Arkansas State. And they'll be at home coming up on Sunday, August 3rd, noon start time against Lindenwood.
An exhibition, but still the first event on campus this fall.
So we'll see what Coach Dooley and his crew have. I'm sure that'll be nice and cool Sunday at noon.
Yeah. I was just in a conversation with some guys this week about that. You know, hopefully sooner than later, things get in a situation where we could get lights for soccer because early on in the year, now they have to play in the afternoon because we don't have lights. You know, we saw an instance last year in a regular season match that we were leading, the officials called it at halftime, and that's not enough to be an official match. So, like, literally, the Heat took a win off the board for us in all likelihood because, obviously, it's hot. So, be nice to get these guys lights one of these days, but until then, hopefully it doesn't get so hot they can't play because we've seen that happen.
All right. Anything else we need to discuss before we get out of here?
No, we talked about the kickoff party, and, you know, that's a fun event. So hope to see a lot of people out at the embassy Saturday night. And, you know, I was listening to you guys during your coverage of media days and thinking, you know, it's a great event. Sunbelt does a great job with
it. They do.
But I did notice that, like, now with the 14-team league and the split, it's not real friendly for the afternoon drive guys that host radio shows. Not really set up for them.
No, I remember, I mean, you and I did it together for so many years when you had your show, and we got to the point where we recorded a lot of that stuff early in the day, and I remember we'd listen to the last hour or two of your show.
We could pretty much still be live, still talking to people up till 5 o'clock or so, but I bet people on the air at 5 o'clock these days were pretty lonely.
Yeah, and I don't know how many people were doing that. I think everybody's kind of learned over the years that you need to be wrapped up about 3 or so.
Yep.
And it worked out for us because we did 10 to 2, mm-hmm. and really that's the best time to do it. But, yeah, you're right. Sam, everybody at the Sun Belt does a fantastic job putting that event together.
It is first class. It really is well done.
All right, thanks to Rachel Phillips coming in. Really enjoyed sitting down and talking with her. She's just a rising star in this business, and I know Butch Jones is really, really happy to have her and helping that football operation flow smoother than ever. So really glad everybody got to kind of hear from her and hear about what she's doing for A-State football. Hope everybody has a great week. For Brad, I'm Matt. We'll talk to you next time on the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and the Cavanaugh Auto Group.